welcome to the Trim Radio Network and Money and Change with Stu Scheer. Hey, listen, come on over to the Trim Radio Network. We broadcast live all over the world. We have some amazing merchandise. And if you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us. We will show you how easy it is to do. And we have a wonderful family, so we have a lot of fun, guys. And there's nothing more that we would enjoy than to have you on our team. The opinions expressed by our host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And we expressly deny any legal and medical professional liabilities of any type. We want you to do your own research. So remember, any information given by us, well, it's not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise. That song right there, Price Tag, is covered under, and that's by Jesse J, covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658, 6105-1658. And we have a call-in number, 803-866-1667, 803-866-1667. You call in, give us your opinion, tell us what you think. Hey, we want to hear from you, okay? We'd love that. We want to hear from you. So with that, here is my final part. It's adieu to me and hello to Stu. Stu, how are you?
Hey, Michael, I'll tell you what. It has been a crazy week. And I'll tell you what, I almost thought I wouldn't be doing the show today because I think, like you, there's something going around. And yesterday I felt fine and I went out. And they were doing chemtrails. You know what those things are? They kind of float out behind the planes and spread out, and they're not like contrails that just dissipate. And they were all over yesterday. Well, I was outside for about a half an hour working on a project, and I must have been breathing stuff in. And man, this morning, my sinuses would not stop. My eyes were itchy. It was not a good sight. So I was digging around and I found my stash of ivermectin, you know, the stuff that they won't give you that I got.
The antiviral.
And I dug out the stash and I thought, well, okay, if it's what I think it could be, I'll take one. And then I took another and I just took my third. And I've also had Mucinex, all kinds of stuff, my vitamins and everything else. And hopefully this goes away tomorrow. But every time they spray, it causes problems. So stop spraying.
you would think that they would do that, but I don't think that they're going to listen to us. So you kind of get used to it as best as you can. And that's about all you can do. But they don't seem to like to listen to us. And we don't want to be poisoned anymore.
Remember when the balloon issue was over Montana and Idaho and other places? Well, there's a place south of me that sells tires. And I won't say that they're a tire discounter or anything. But they posted on their sign. And they said, if balloon says Goodyear, don't shoot.
Yeah, there you go.
Now that's, you know, I mean, that's the sense of humor that I have to put up with around here. I mean, everybody's a little bit on the conservative side, but when somebody puts up, if balloon says Goodyear, don't shoot.
So those really weren't gender reveal balloons.
No. And it would be a very big gender if they revealed it.
I was thinking China was growing something again. I don't know.
you never know. Actually, you know, somebody had a thing on Facebook where they launched a Goodyear balloon, a dirigible, over China, and everybody panicked and started running the other way, even though it said Goodyear on it. Well, anyhow, you know, I don't care if it's Goodyear, bad year, whatever.
Healthy year.
I just don't spray stuff in the air and expect me to breathe it. I really hate that because it messes me up for a couple of days.
I think it messes us all up. All right, well, listen, I'm going to let you go. You run the show. Don't forget, folks, Stu's going to do his thing about Rusty Duck's pens, and I'm going to tell you because I own one. All I can say is that the man is the best. Anyway, I'll let Stu cover all that, and we'll see you in about an hour, Stu.
Okay, good deal. Well, hey, guys, I'm glad to be on the air because earlier this morning I didn't feel like doing anything. But there's so much news out there. I even got an email from Dave Kobler. I've told you about Dave Kobler, Southern Prepper One. And he sent me an email, and it's got some important stuff. I put it up on our Facebook page. And I'll just let you, I'll read it when we get to that part of the show. It's just, he's ahead of the ball game. And I sent him an email back, and I gave him a question to see what he comes up with an answer. Anyhow, you know, Money and Change is on every Sunday night. And probably 90% of the time or 95% of the time, we are live. That's L-I-V-E. And we do a lot of preparation between our Wednesday My World show and then again on Sunday. A lot of the financial stuff always comes out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It rarely comes out on Sunday. But I'm spending a lot of time doing research for both shows. And it's kind of interesting what you see and what you hear.
And speaking of Stu, not to interrupt you real quick before I go again.
But you did.
Your camera went out. So
my camera went out?
Yes, it did. I see a big and a red dot, but I'm not seeing you.
Well, guess what? Now they won't have anything to show for squirrels and rabbits and, you know, scaring off rodents. Good grief. Well, anyhow, guys, I may have to get a new camera. Who knows? But our disclaimer is the information contained on this presented material is from the posting of news agencies on the internet and are not necessarily the views or opinions of the owners of this program. And nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice, like Michael said. And you should always do your own research and consult with professionals. We are not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. That's what you call a disclaimer. Because we just report the news. We don't create it. Hey, big shout out to Trim Radio Network for carrying the show. And Michael and I have been working together off and on for a lot of years. And we have fun. And everybody on the show has fun. It doesn't make any difference if it's Rascala or Michael or myself or other people. Hey, we have fun doing our shows. And it shows. But check us out on Trim Radio Network at trimradio.com. And also buy the merchandise. You know, you want a mug? Hey, go to our webpage and buy some merchandise. It helps keep the show on the air. It really does. You know, I don't charge the show for doing all my research. And I don't expect to charge the show for any research at all. I don't get paid. I'm having fun. There's a difference between when you're having fun or getting paid. I've already made my money. I don't want to be paid anymore. It messes with the taxes. And you know what? Oh, my God, that's coming up. Can you believe that? Tax time is coming up? Oh, my goodness. If you haven't prepared for your taxes, you're in trouble. This year, I had to go to an accountant. And I don't know what it's going to cost me, but I know it's going to cost me some mucho dinero, as they say down south. I don't know. We're going to see what they can come up with. Well, anyhow, tax time is coming up. And if you haven't prepared, haven't got your documentation together, you are going to be in a world of hurt. And so get ready to pay and pay and pay and pay. Well, a big shout out to the University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. The University of Findlay is located in Findlay, Ohio, right off of 75, I-75 to be exact. It's an NCAA Division II school, and they have different doctoral degrees, master's degrees, bachelor's degrees. And they didn't start the master's and doctoral degrees until after I left. I would have stayed there. But no, they had to wait about 10 years or 15 years before they started the master's. So, you know, but that gave me the spice of life. I got a chance to go around to different schools in different states to work on my master's degree. And then after spending all that time, I decided, even though they wanted me to work on a doctoral degree, I decided, no, I'm burned out. I don't need it. And in a way, I kind of wish that I'd gone on. But I went ahead and went to Morehead State University for the first part of the master's degree. The second part was at Xavier University in Cincinnati, Ohio. Xavier is a very good school, very expensive school. But I got my master's from Xavier, and then I took other classes at other colleges and universities. Maybe if I spent all that time, I could have applied it to a doctoral degree, but I didn't do it. You know, after so many years of education, you get kind of burned out. And I think I received my burnout degree. But a big shout out to the University of Findlay. Matter of fact, I'm going up there next Saturday, weather permitting, and watch some more basketball. And usually when they see me walk in the door, they just hand me my tickets and I go on. I don't know if they have a poster with my face on it, or they're saying, watch out for this guy or whatever. They just give me my tickets. I walk in, no problem. And I think that's a good deal. And I think if I went to Xavier, they would say, sign on this line and it's your firstborn child and plus the first $10,000. I'm just kidding. But they are very expensive down there, especially when you go to a basketball game. You know, if you want to pay $35, $55, $75, you can do that. Pardon me a second. I've got this cough. And when it coughs, it causes a lot of problems. And with the gain turned up on this mic, I didn't want to deafen anybody. But, you know, the big thing is that, you know, get your education while you can. And even if you're working, you can get additional education going to school. Learn as much as you can, because your job could depend on it. And in some cases, it does depend on it. But the University of Findlay is a very good place to go. A very good place to go. Like I said, it's an NCAA Division II school, and they have a very good basketball program, a good baseball program, wrestling program, swimming. They're doing okay in that. It's just a darn good school. It's a nice campus. You can walk anywhere on the campus. Fairly new buildings and great professors. And the prices, hey, they're decent. You can't knock it. Well, like Michael said, you know, let's give Rusty Ducks Custom Pens a big plug. Why? Because he makes really good pens. I mean, really good pens. Michael and I both have them, and they don't go out of the shop until they are absolutely perfect. And Phil over at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens does a really good job. I mean, he's a perfectionist. He really is. And if you give him the design, he will work on it and create the barrel, which is the center section of the pen. And he just does a really good job. I have one that's made out of a wood veneer. That's fantastic. Michael has one with the, I guess, the acrylic coating on it. But Phil over at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens, he will make any custom pen that you want. And if you need a presentation pen, or somebody in your organization or in your business, you know, an employee that's going to retire, hey, give them a pen set from Rusty Duck's Custom Pens. And if you have a student that's doing really well, hey, give him a nice pen. And he has a lot to choose from. He also has, I think, two varieties of the Second Amendment pen, which are beautiful. And so you have to really check that out with Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks. That's the center part of the pen. On Facebook, check them out. Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks. Well, a big shout out to Money and Change. That's every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We go all over the world. I've had responses from people from Myanmar. I've had responses from people in India, from Africa, the U.S., Canada. But I haven't had anything from Iceland. You know, we go all over the world, but I'm not getting anything from Iceland. And I'm just wondering what's going on here. So if you're living in Iceland and you listen to the show, hey, send us an email, please. And don't send it in Icelandic because I don't speak it. Just for those of you that live outside the United States, my principal language is English. I can speak and read a little bit of German. I can do a little bit of Spanish and French. That's it. So if your language is Sanskrit, please translate it. Anyhow, also on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m., My World Laugh or Live, Laugh and Whatever. And we have a good time on that show. We don't talk a lot about finance. We talk about different stuff that's going on. And it's kind of interesting. I can kind of lay back a little bit and talk about different experiences that I've had. And sometimes they're funny. Actually, they all are. How about the Deep Family Home? I'm sorry, not Deep. Oh, no. Big Family Homestead. They had some ice this week. And they have some snow up there, and that's Brad and Krista that lives up in Wisconsin, in the middle of Wisconsin. And the Big Family Homestead, yeah, it's a big family. And they talk about their experiences on the farm and doing other things. And I've known them for years. They're great people. Check them out, Brad and Krista at the Big Family Homestead. Also, Deep South Homestead with Danny and Wanda King. They're located down in Wiggins, Mississippi. It's about 100 miles north of the Gulf of Mexico. You have to check them out. Really good people. Also, Southern Prepper One with Dave Kobler. Remember, I've always said he does boots on the ground, and people send him information that he likes to relate on to other people about stores being out of product, the prices going up, all kinds of stuff. And Dave does a good job of taking that information and getting it out to everybody that subscribes to his channel, Southern Prepper One. And then we have Ed Carswell with Prepper Nurse One in West Virginia. He's in the process. There goes that cough again. He's in the process of actually building a root cellar, some would call it a bunker, on a hillside. And I guess it's kind of tough digging. And so people are helping him out with that. And he's trying to get everything ready so he can have people over, you know, come over and visit and camp out. Beautiful view over there of the valley. And he's not on a mountain. He's just on a hill. Beautiful view. And I wish him the best in getting things going. He's got solar power there, and he's basically living in a camper right now. And then he goes out, and he's going to be building other buildings as he goes. And he wants to relocate out of northern New York back to West Virginia. I'd like to go down to West Virginia. It'd be nice to go in the hills and actually see what the temperature would be during the summertime. Is it going to be boiling hot? And in the wintertime, how cold does it get? How close are you to civilization? You know, do you hear things like, "Hi, neighbor. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do." No, we won't go there. Well, anyhow, check him out, Ed Carswell at Preppers One. Then there's Nate. He's trying to, I guess, inform the Canadian prepper on everything that's going on. And there's been a lot going on. But those are the people that I know, that I trust. And if I don't trust them, I won't tell you about them. And that's the way it ought to be. Well, hey, on our website, I've put up a bunch of stuff. Do not delay. Now is the time to start building your home improvised shelter with Dave Kobler. That was just put up a few minutes ago. And then I've got how to resist CBDCs. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. Five ways you can opt out of this dystopian future. Yeah, it is a dystopian future. The government seeks totalitarian money, and we've been talking about that for quite a while. And then Cliff High has been talking about banks, and you know it's coming. And I went ahead and posted that one because it is kind of important. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. And I'll tell you what, Cliff is, as far as accuracy on everything that he does, I would say 95% or better, probably 98%. He really does his research and does a fantastic job. There's also a video that's off of YouTube. Should you take money out of the bank? Oh, I could talk about that quite a bit. But I'll tell you what, there's so much that I've posted on the Money and Change / Financially Prepped page. You have to check it out. You're going to get probably three or four meaningful, I'll get this right, meaningful posts a week. Sometimes more. It just depends on what's going on. And please, you know, check us out. I don't post the information just to post the information. Matter of fact, I had somebody that I went to school with years and years and years ago, probably about 2 years before Methuselah was born, I think. But anyhow, I had this nice compliment from Jerry. Now, Jerry, if you're listening, thank you very much for the kind compliment. And hopefully, you learn a lot from the things that we cover on Money and Change, and also from the other shows on the Trim Radio Network. Now, we have a lot of stuff to do. And you know, remember the train derailment up in East Palestine, Ohio? Where's East Palestine? It's up in Columbiana County. It's about maybe, I'm going to say 100 miles south of Chicago, not Chicago, geez, south of Cleveland. Well, actually, Chicago and Cleveland are big. They both have a lot of crime. I think Cleveland is a lot nicer. But they had this train wreck, and then they decided, well, what are we going to do with this mess? Well, I don't know. Gee, what do we do? Suck it up and put it in tanks and haul it off? Or then somebody said, oh, let's just burn it in place. And then this big black cloud comes up out of East Palestine and floats towards the east because the winds here basically come southwest and west to east northeast. And so everybody in Pittsburgh is now going to smell this stuff, which was basically polyvinyl chloride. And from what I have researched, polyvinyl chloride will give off chlorine gas. And people in East Palestine were told to evacuate. Now they're saying, okay, you can come back. And now they're saying, oh, you can drink the water. I don't think so. And then they're telling some people, oh, no, you have to drink bottled water. Well, I'd be saying, I'm going to get the heck out of Dodge and let somebody solve this thing, because there are birds and animals and stuff dead all over the place. Who knows? Your pet cat could be part of the victims. You never know. What gets me is trains, and I follow trains all the time. I'm a rail fanner, and I like to look at Deschler and watch the trains crossing there, and I know some people that watch trains there on the web, and we chat back and forth. And they're still wondering actually what's been going on at East Palestine. But these trains, when they get between detectors, sometimes they don't detect a hot box, in other words, brakes or whatever, or something creating sparks. And these detectors might be every 10 miles apart or before you come into a populated area. And the recording will say, station such and such, so many axles, no problems. And that notifies the engineer that everything's working, because they can have a train 5 miles long and he can't look all the way to the back. Nobody could. So here we are, you know, the train's coming through. There was a spark, something locked up, the train derailed. Now they're going to have to figure all this out. But what does that do to people living in the area? It exposes them to different types of dangers. And the bad thing is they don't notify, the railroads don't notify the engineers that they're carrying hazardous materials. They don't notify the town that, oh, yeah, here comes a hazardous materials train. And that's why we're going 10 miles an hour through the town, very slow. And then when we get outside of town, 4 or 5 miles, then we speed back up to about 40 miles an hour. And if something locks up and you get a hot box, we won't know until we hit the next detector. And the recorded message would say, detector 35, so many axles, no problems. And that's how they do it. Well, anyhow, I did some research from the Federal Railroad Administration, the FRA, and it's safetydata.fra.dot.gov. And I'm looking at total accidents between January and November of 2022. And this is what they're basically showing. Railroads reporting in 2022, 805. Total accidents, 8,928. Fatalities, 899. Non-fatal is 5,616. Because you have to report all accidents. Train accidents, 1,573. Fatalities have been 11. Non-fatal is 56, collisions 87, derailments 1,044, other 442, and track causes 339. Now the derailments can happen very easily. Sometimes your connectors between two lengths of rail can loosen up. Sometimes the rail bed underneath the railroad ties can loosen up due to rain or whatever. And the track width has to be a certain width. And if it separates, then the train wheels will come off the tracks. And that's what happens. It's just a fact of life with railroads. We use wooden ties here. And over in Europe, they use concrete and a different type of fastener. Maybe we need to switch to the European, because I couldn't get any information on the European trains. And then I was looking around in Newsweek. Alex Phillips at Newsweek.com posted a story. He said, Ohio train manifest reveals full list of chemicals released from derailment. And he says, a manifest of the cargo being transported by train that derailed near the border between Ohio and Pennsylvania, causing a toxic spill, has been released to the public by the EPA. And the list provided by the rail operator, Norfolk Southern, shows that chemicals known to have been spilled or burnt off in the derailment and the fire that followed aligned with those present in EPA monitoring of the surrounding environment. And they said a train of about 150 cars derailed near the town of East Palestine, and 20 of which were carrying hazardous materials. 38 cars came off the tracks, and they had 7 containers of hazardous materials. And the derailment caused a huge fire, inferring a massive explosion. Emergency responders breached 5 cars to let out the vinyl chloride inside. Now, the chemicals were diverted into a trench and burnt off. And that caused that heavy black smoke that billowed for I don't know how many thousand feet. And the officials warned, however, that it would send toxic gases like phosgene, used during World War I, and hydrogen chloride into the atmosphere. I wouldn't want to breathe that stuff. Maybe that's what I was breathing when I had my problems. I don't know. February 12th, manifest from Norfolk Southern showed that 5 tanks containing the vinyl chloride had been breached, so the chemical could be burned off. And the company is now facing a class action lawsuit over the burning of the chemicals. Well, since the spill, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, detected several toxic substances in the soil and nearby waters, including the Ohio River. Well, it's East Palestine is way up at the head of the river, and it would still have a long way to go. But this stuff got into the river, one of the creeks that eventually fed into the Ohio River. Now, the governor was having everything checked out. Various rail cars carrying the petroleum lube oil had various degrees of breaches, while 4 hoppers of polyvinyl chloride had been burned or involved in the initial fire, and 2 hoppers containing polyethylene, a plastic, had their contents destroyed by fire. Boxcars shipping sheet steel and frozen vegetables were burned, while other cars, including those containing paraffin wax, malt liquors, and cement, had been involved in the crash but had not been damaged by the fire. Well, to all you guys that like booze, you have my sympathy on malt liquors. Paraffin wax, hey, it does burn. But the polyethylene and polyvinyl chloride, yeah, we've got some serious problems. Luckily, from where I live, the winds go to the east. And so we're not affected there. And our water supply here in Western Ohio has not been affected. But I'll tell you what, it's scary out there. That's why I have a Berkey water filter system. And Berkey is great. I pour my city water into the Berkey. It filters everything out. And then I have water that doesn't have chlorine taste, that doesn't have any other chemical taste, because it's taken out. And all you need to do once a year is basically follow the directions and wash the filter elements and the containers to take out any sediment or whatever. Recharge everything and put it back together. And one of those, I think it's like 3,000 gallons. And then you replace the filters. And my philosophy is, it's an old military thing that I picked up. One is none, and two is one. So if something goes bad, you know you have an extra filter to use. Now, one of the Sawyer filters that I've got is a family filter, and that's good for, I think it's about 100,000 gallons. And it's not that big, but I don't think that you can replace it. So that's something that's going on with trains. Are you prepared for stuff like that? Are you really prepared? Do you have if the railroad said you got to get out of town, do you have a to-go bag? And what would you put in that go bag? Well, I've got a backpack, and in the backpack, I've got toilet paper, I've got soap, I've got water filtration straws, I've got a bottle for extra water, I've got a radio, I've got a change of clothes, plus a lot of other stuff that's in the to-go bag. If they said you have to evacuate now, I could go and get my bag, grab an extra jug of water, get in the car, and go. Because I know that I have food bars. The only thing I'd have to do is really get my medication. So I have that to take with me. And then I could very easily leave the scene, take off. And I could basically go any direction they would permit me to go. And I would have all of my documentation with me. I would have the food and water that I need. I would have extra money that I would need. I would have my credit cards and so forth. And I'd be ready to bail out. You need to put together a to-go bag. And don't forget the toilet paper. Matter of fact, I'd probably take two or three rolls of toilet paper. You can flatten it and put it in the bag to go. You don't have to get very fancy about it. But don't forget your meds. Don't forget some extra money. Don't forget some extra clothes. Extra pair, maybe two pair of socks, two pair of underwear, two pairs of shirts, maybe pants. Get some good walking shoes. Make sure you have a road map in there. Make sure you have flashlights, extra batteries, you name it. Just, there are places on the web where you can check this stuff out, and you really need to have a to-go bag. And maybe the people in East Palestine didn't know what a to-go bag was, but they do now. Well, I'll tell you what, there are a lot of different things on finance. And Nick Corbishley from Naked Capitalism, Naked Capitalism, ooh, came up with a story. It says, is Switzerland about to become the first country to outlaw a cashless society? A lot of countries are saying, oh, let's go cashless and we just use our credit cards. And that's how we do it. Or we have a special ID card. We just tap on the machine and we can buy what we want. Some people are saying, let's think about it, because you could have your money given to you by the government, but it can be taken away from you as well. So if you go to a cashless society and you have your card, it's loaded up with X amount of money in the card, and they say that's all you get this month, then you have to budget your money. Now, if you tick off the government and don't do what they say, they remove money or deny money from your card. You either play the game our way or no way. Well, in Switzerland, they're about to become the first country to outlaw a cashless society, supposedly, according to Nick Korbischli. And his article says, as in neighboring Germany and Austria, cash is still king in Switzerland, albeit a much diminished one. But the Swiss will soon have the chance to vote on whether to preserve notes and coins indefinitely. And this is a rare positive news story that perhaps surprisingly has received next to no attention beyond the Swiss borders. And as far as Nick can tell, none of the legacy media in the UK and US, France or Germany or Spain have even bothered to cover the story. Now, he said from Reuters, Swiss citizens will get the chance to try to ensure their economy never becomes cashless, because they vote on it. The Swiss have a really neat form of government up there, and the person with the most, I think the most power would be their canton, or basically their state representative. Now, if the state representative comes in and tells you to get out, well, then you're leaving. And when the burger builders were doing something in Switzerland, basically he told them, he got reports that they were not behaving themselves. He wanted them out. He wanted them out by tomorrow. He had a lot of power. That's like a state senator or state representative. Well, under Switzerland's system of direct democracy, this is important, direct democracy, the proposal would become law if approved by the voters. Though government and parliament would decide how that law was to be implemented. The people vote on it and tell the parliament and the government what to do, and they just determine a way to get it done. Here, they're thinking about going to a CBDC, which is a central bank digital coin. And some people say, oh, it's the best thing since sliced bread. But on the other hand, it may not be. And some people, Nick Gambruno from the internationalman.com had a story, and he said, how to resist CBDCs, five ways you can opt out of this dystopian future. And he said, there's an excellent chance governments worldwide will soon force their citizens to use central bank digital coins or currency, CBDCs. The CBDC enables all sorts of horrible totalitarian things. They allow governments to track and control every penny you earn, save, and spend. They are a powerful tool for politicians to confiscate and redistribute the wealth as they see fit. The key here is confiscate and redistribute the wealth. CBDCs will make it possible for central banks to impose deeply negative interest rates? How about bail-ins, where the bank screws up and we have to bail them out? Not the government, but the shareholders in the bank. That gets scary. Then the article then goes on to say, undoubtedly CBDCs will be paired with a sort of social credit system. Sounds like China. You don't be good, we take your credits away. We take your credits away, we take your money away. You don't believe the way we do? Well, you don't have any rights, you don't have any money. And what Nick is saying, the good news is that the CBDCs are destined to fail because other people have other ways of financing things. It's doubtful, according to Nick, that CBDCs can save otherwise fundamentally unsound currencies, like all fiat currencies. The paper currencies that we have is fiat. And would a CBDC save the Zimbabwe dollar, the Venezuelan bolivar, the Argentine peso, or the Lebanese lira? I don't think so, according to Nick. You have to have a good fundamental currency. And how to get that is use physical gold and silver. Physical gold and silver. You can hold silver in your hand. You can hold gold in your hand. You know, you can feel the weight of it. You can't do that with paper currency. I mean, yeah, you can feel it, but what's it backed by? We know what gold and silver backed by, gold and silver. What's a CBDC backed by? Well, if it's silver or it's gold, that's fine. If it isn't, we're in trouble. Hey, thinking of that business up in East Palestine, which countries pollute the most ocean plastic waste? Did you know that half of the plastic waste is recycled, incinerated, or discarded into landfills? And a significant portion of what remains eventually ends up in the oceans. Now, there's been a lot of different studies on this. And you go out and check to see what countries are emitting what types of plastics. And people are saying, for example, China generates 10 times the plastic waste that Malaysia does. However, 9% of Malaysia's total plastic waste is estimated to reach the ocean in comparison to China's 0.6%. So the number one rank, according to this study, was Philippines at 356,371 annual ocean plastic waste by ton, followed by India, followed by Malaysia, then China, then Indonesia, then Myanmar, then Brazil, Vietnam, Bangladesh, and Thailand. And they're emitting about 1,012,500 tons of plastic into the ocean. Plastic, is it such a good thing after all? A lot of stuff that we have is made out of plastic. Polyvinyl chloride, does that ring a bell? Well, hey, here's what Dave Kobler sent me in an email. He said, hey, Stu, this week the U.S. government formally declared that Russia has committed crimes against humanity. And they want Putin and several of his government officials brought to justice. The Norwegian intelligence announced that Russian warships had sailed with nuclear missiles on board. And this hasn't happened since the time of the Soviet Union. Things are just moving in a positive direction, and that's putting it lightly. Oh, aren't moving in a positive direction. Russia can't win a military operation against the entire NATO alliance unless they use nuclear weapons first. Would they be crazy to do it? Well, Dave said the U.S. was crazy enough to use it twice on the Japanese. And he says, I don't want you to panic, but I want you to be prepared just in case. And he says, I have a dozen or so videos of about nuclear war preparedness on my channel, Southern Prepper One. I have also come up with a different way to help you and your friends and family prepare. It's something you can use to start a conversation and engage those around you, especially your neighbors and people you aren't close to. I talk more about it in this video, and I posted it. Excuse me. Thank you for being a viewer of the channel and for all your support. I hope this information can help you in some way. Have a great week ahead. Dave Kobler. He seems to think things are going to get dangerous. And everything that I have done research on is saying that, yeah, we're probably about a minute and 30 seconds to midnight when the nukes start to pop. So pay down your debt, put some money aside, get some long-term food, stock up on your medications. Make sure you have clothing and shelter for what could happen. And do some reading on how you can prepare yourself for a nuclear happening. It may or may not happen. Stupid people would set off candles, if you know what I mean. And that could cause everybody to shoot off some candles, and we don't need that. And as one of the preppers that I know, he says, prep, pray, and stay out of the way. I believe that is Roy Potter, who was in the government for quite a while in the military. He was a lieutenant colonel, I believe. But he's even saying things are starting to get a little bit scary. And I hope it doesn't happen. I pray it doesn't happen. But you have to be prepared. Do you have the food? Do you have water? Do you have a way to shelter yourself? Do you have a way to...
yes, please.
This clean plastic to put around your doors and windows. You know, you just have to be prepared for this stuff. And we will talk some more on Wednesday because I can hear David in the background, Michael in the background. Sorry, Dave. No, hi, Mike. Okay, George. I feel like George Carlin just hit me with an ugly stick. Anyhow, that's about all I've got for the show this time. I haven't coughed much, and I did use my mute button, which I need that. And hopefully my voice gets back up to normal instead of being ultra bass. But you guys have a good week. Follow our Money and Change / Financially Prepped page on Facebook. We'll keep you up to date there. And I will talk to everybody on Wednesday on My World at 8 p.m.
All right. Stu, have a wonderful week. I hope that you feel much better. Anyway, with that, folks, thanks for tuning in to Trim Radio Network. Don't forget to come on over and visit us all the time. We have so many great shows, and it's growing. So, and we're going to grow more. So we're looking forward to it. Anyway, with that, God bless. Take care. And we are out of here, folks.
Bye.